invited to a party. Come along now.
Let's go down to the haunted house. Gonna be a party there tonight. All the zombies who dig cha-cha-cha, 1 o'clock they're gonna come in sight.
Cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha,
cha-cha with the zombies, cha-cha with the zombies. Have you ever seen a swinging ghost? Cha-cha with the zombies, cha-cha with the zombies. Wow, those zombies are the most.
Greetings, this is Daryl War, and this is the intro to episode 11 of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. Hope you dug the 1960s song. It's been on my mind for a while. As I said in my special announcement podcast and mentioned trying to shake the audience out of their zombie repose, yep, that's what it feels like is going on as far as the internet is concerned. Zombies. Just out for one's brains. Just kind of feels that way to me. Or has done. But not so much anymore. I don't know why I started writing what a number of you know about, Margaret Josette Dupré, which is the post-marriage story of Barnabas Collins and Josette Dupré. However, it did give the fans who have come out of the shadows the boost they needed to know what was going on. I would have figured, by the first episode of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, that would have been obvious. Still, when I finally found 3 fans, and then one more found me, I discovered they were in so much jaw-dropping awe, they didn't know what to say. Facebook and so forth is actually good for something. That's a shock to me. I had a Facebook account before, but it really didn't do much to enrich the relationships with too many friends. In fact, there are a few now I don't consider friends anymore due to it, because all I saw is them watching how much I was suffering and then clicking like on it, if even that. Whereas, you, Dark Shadows fans, you guys do use this Facebook thing for the truth of its purpose. And you have these dazzling manners I was not aware of. There is conversation going on now that I dumped my old account and created this one. I was encouraged for a while to use another account of someone's just to get in there, so that's when I knew I needed to start from scratch. I also enjoy some of those good mornings and good nights with a little something DS related. Well done, fans. Marvelously well done. With this in mind, some of you could be wondering, wait, this is the intro to episode 11? Where's 10? Ah, well, it's on Podomatic and iTunes just as it always is. I decided to deduce who all was listening and make an effort to only private message the link to them. One of which was Sharon Smythe-Lenz, hope I'm getting that name correct, after I connected with her considering Sarah Collins' return in that episode. And you know what she said in response to that? Thanks. And I'm pretty sure she's got a good idea what that meant to me. I was smiling all day. Now I have so many people to thank, I'm not sure I can get them all in. And I also don't know if you want, for all posterity, your name mentioned in podcasts, so I'll wait till you get a hold of me or I get a hold of you for that. One wonderful girl contacted me, and we really got to know each other. The first thing she typed was, "I just want to say your Roger Collins is spot on. Bad opener, I know, but still." I didn't know her from Eve, but I just breezed through happily. It was a while before I recognized her name, and then I understood, okay, this was someone who passionately reviewed Margaret Josette Dupré on another site I'd posted that to. Now, I had a bad night in rescuing my husband with a neighbor from a cold 2-hour walk home, cold, that I refused to let him suffer through, considering he already has long hours at work. So when I got home, I saw more hits on the story at that site and absolutely raved. Ah, and yet, Here's the wonderful thing about a couple of Josette fans I found. They saw that rant and did not bat an eyelash. One girl said, "Okay, I don't think your being jaded is the appropriate description." Then the other girl saw it, nodded to my anger of not being cared about, and said, "The reason I had so many hits was people were likely too in awe of my work or too idiotic and lazy to say anything." Liked her spark. Later on, she had to confess it truly was from this disbelief of all these years starving for the story of this pair, and then finally getting it better than they expected, as I'm not your normal for this fandom. I work very, very hard for these characters. This is no action figure play at all. And not everybody does action figure play with these characters, but I hope y'all can see, maybe confess at some point, how big this is. I mean, you hear my voice, right, with your ears. You hear their voices. This is much closer to being one of those Big Finish audio productions of Dark Shadows, yes? But I want to thank her devotedly, because she taught me how to use Skype on my new Kindle, and just to hear her voice was such a blessing. We spoke for almost 7 hours, and she got to hear loads more about the episodes and how we're going to kick up Collinsport with some good old 1960s flower power. This is not to say I'm a hippie. For the few of you who have seen my photograph, you know I'm goth as all get out, and likely only someone of such gothic leanings could actually put a spooky multi-fandom together with so much love and determination. Anyway, I'm out to thank you all right now. Whoever my old fans were likely read whatever the heck on fanfiction.net, never thinking it of much importance. But now that I've found you lot, I feel truly blessed. I do. Although, I am rather pleased that the numbers on the Addams Family text version went up again when I posted episode 10 to them. I'd love to get more insight from them. Seemed like a rather hip crowd over there. And now I'd like to introduce you to someone living through this with me and watched me fall to pieces with his love and support, my husband. All right, so do you want to say what your name is, or would you rather just be Daryl's husband?
I'll just be Daryl's husband, I guess.
Okay, that's good. Yes, there's been some... I've been asked a few questions, even upon seeing my photograph. I am a woman. And my husband...
And I am a man.
Yeah, that's something that needed to be addressed, and I wasn't sure that it really needed to, but after I got a few questions from a few people, yes, I'm a woman, and my husband is a man. So we're doing kind of the workshop thing, because that was something that I put out there as an idea, and the few people who definitely are my fans, and I think are my fans, said that it would be a good idea. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you and interview you about is I had you... to try and get the conversation going, try to do reviews at a different website. And how did you manage to work that out? Do you remember you went about it kind of in a...
You mean my whole how I was doing it? And
yeah, you took an approach, and I was impressed at that approach. You took a certain avenue down that road when you were doing your commentary.
Oh, just the text version. How I did it. Yeah. I mean, the full process. I'd read it at home.
Right.
I'd take notes of what I wanted to comment on, which was usually what I thought was the funniest bits.
Right.
And then, just to try and prove somehow that I was a different person, I wouldn't post it at home. I would post it at work, on my work computer. Mm-hmm. Just...
Well, because then, you know, depending on who's doing the lurking and who's
because,
doing... Yeah, well...
I don't know.
I think we worked that out. Because some people do their own guest reviews on their stories, depending on how spy-worthy some of these lurkers are that we don't know, from Adam or Eve. It's kind of silly, because they can probably figure out where it's coming from, whatever the ISP addresses and that kind of thing. But it made more sense than, doing it from our computer, because that's the one I'm on. So doing it from your work computer, obviously you're somebody else. You're, you know, my husband, not me.
Yeah.
But that was something that we had to try and get the, you know, because sometimes when a conversation starts happening in a commentary section, it gets the ball rolling. That was what we had both, you know, gave a thought to, trying to unravel the problem. But why do you think that's difficult for people to do? When I would perform the old recordings, I could get your reaction instantaneously just because you were sitting right here.
One, it's a lot easier to see somebody's reactions than to have them say what their reactions were. That's one of the reasons I would jot down notes. Even if I were reading the story and then writing the review immediately, it would have been different if I didn't take notes, I think. Because I'm like, oh yeah, that's really funny. Let me jot that down. But that was also partly because I was doing it a different day at a different location.
I just wanted to move that a little bit.
So, as to why it's difficult for people?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Either there are numerous factors, possible factors. Either they're busy.
Right.
There's no time for it. Or they just don't care. I mean, or they are insecure about what they have to say. Oh, I don't. You know, what do I have to say? I don't have anything to add. Or they read something and they don't, they feel not so much self-doubt about what they have to say, just, what can I say? Kind of thing.
Not even, I like it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of times people are going to be like, I'm not going to put, I like it, just because I'm not saying anything.
Mm. But if you,
I haven't been going on fanfiction websites reading stuff, but if I was, I certainly wouldn't think to write, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Well, the other factor involved is the device technology, I think, because now that I have the Kindle Fire, I can see how difficult it is. And some people are like, well, I read it on my phone and it's my keyboard is horrible. And, you know, there's that aspect. See, this is the thing that weirds me out. This is why I think things have changed, because when we look at the DS annotations and on YouTube, that Slip of a Vampire put together, those have plenty of commentary. And one person I remember recently, like, where's this been all my life? And I was like, yeah, it's a word, but that was from years ago. So it's something changed. And I think part of it is just the device technology and people getting out of touch with feeling the need to communicate. It's just all coming at them all at once. So when they go looking for something cool, they know that there's going to be something else cool, just as cool.
Short attention span as well.
Yeah.
You read it and go to the next kind of thing.
Yeah, just carry on, you know.
And I read it on my Google Glasses while driving.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what she said. Oh, I was remembering the girl who I was on Skype with for almost 7 hours that one night. And we've been on Skype again, and I thank her so much for her time and devotion. She said, people see it and they run away screaming.
What? People see what?
People see the review box and they run away screaming. Or the comment box or whatever. Although on Podomatic, now that I've figured out, you know, that the anonymous comments were on the whole time, they weren't working the first time, so that I devised the other thing where I just, okay, maybe put the text and then they can just go to that and review it. So I changed that the other day. The other thing that she said, other than they run away screaming from the review boxes, is F it. So, what would you, if somebody wanted to, like there was somebody on Facebook who said, hey, that'd be a good idea because I don't know how to do that. Okay, so my advice would just be, okay, you're reading it or you're listening to it, you're laughing your butt off at something. You pause it, you go to the comic box, and that's when you say what you want. Because that's what I would do with DS annotations. You know, I would be like, okay, this, this, and this. You know, you just pause it. And the commentary on YouTube, it's so that you can, you know, if you're on a laptop or you're on a desktop computer, you can pause it, you can go down, and you can continue your comments as you go through DS annotations, which is probably a lot harder for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows because the episodes are so darn long now, and that was just because I was writing it and I wasn't thinking about time, you know. So the idea of, like with DS annotations, you're watching it, something cracks you up a lot, you pause, you write down what it was or your reaction to whatever the joke was, And then you continue, but you don't put the comment in yet, and you just wait till it's over. And then if you have anything more to say, that's when you say it, and then you punch the button.
Mm-hmm.
That's one example of something that could be done with the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. Do you have something similar that you might add to that? Or do you think that, does that make sense to you, right?
It makes sense. I don't think I'd do it that way.
Oh, okay. I think you didn't have a YouTube account, because I remember you just...
I still don't have, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have one.
I'd be more prone to take notes.
Right.
I mean, a physical note, just because I guess I'm not that tech.
Okay. And there's also the typing aspect, which I helped you with a number of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember how I did that? Because you sort of knew how to type.
I basically used a mostly one-finger typing technique. And then...
You had been taught. You had taken a typing class.
I had taken it, well, yeah, like in the eighth grade.
Yeah, I know, but you got that back. I remember from what I told you what to do.
Well, I think I got better. Well, yeah, I mean, you had that sentence, that quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dogs.
Yeah.
And then my mom also, when she was volunteering at the library, checked out some typing book.
That's right.
As
okay.
well.
Yeah.
And my parents had, I think that was the old computer.
Yeah.
That I was practicing on.
Yeah.
I guess it did kind of come back. Because I had, back in the eighth grade, I mean, I had like one full semester that was just typing on like old typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. That helped. That came back and I type normal now.
Yeah. And well, that's the other thing. Some of these old skills, they can be renewed. Like, I remember you saying how bad your French was, and then when my cousin was learning French, yours started to get better. It wasn't fluent or anything, but, I mean, well, you guys were able to...
Yeah.
Well, also, you two, when we were able to hang out with them more, you guys would blow ideas back and forth like just crazy. I mean, you would create these tornadoes of awesomeness. You and her just have this rapport that is unbelievable sometimes. But yeah, when she was learning French, you got some of your French back. And I remember you've helped me with the LibriVox books. When I go, there's a French word or phrase, come and help me. And you'd be able to kind of help me.
At least give
a
bad attempt at it.
Which you pretty much are doing for Josette Dupre as well. Because I just go, okay, sis, how about this? What about this?
Yeah, so when the when you're listening and the French pronunciation is really bad, that's my fault.
I know, that's going to come up in episode.
Come on, it was 25 years ago I last took French.
Oh, okay.
Parlez-vous francais?
So this is good. So what have you seen from me in this project? You've seen me have fun, but you've also seen some stuff that isn't very nice.
Well, inspiration, like you being inspired in creating and writing, that was very nice, and having fun with it, that was very nice. But then it turned into much frustration and anger and upsetness.
Confusion.
And it seemed to trigger even more obsession. It was just a bad obsession. You continued to be obsessed, but in a way that was making you feel worse and was upsetting to you.
And a lot of people did move away around that time. A lot of friends, we weren't seeing them anymore.
Well, things happen, yeah. I don't know how much was moving away at that time, but... Yeah.
And my mom didn't come out for a vacation. She just decided that it was going to be too much money for us, even though it would have been better to see her...
I think it was more
yeah,
than that.
Yeah, there was probably more than that.
But yeah.
Yeah, we don't get out much. And even if we do, we don't know enough people around here anymore that much. But the other thing, I think, when you're pointing out the obsession, The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is about solving problems. All the Silence, to me, was a big problem that I was trying to sort out, and still am a little bit. So that's where that obsession comes from, obviously, because I'm just trying to solve everything. Like, there's a problem, I've got to solve it. And a lot of human beings are like that, but we've gotten so much so into the quick fix, pop a pill, spray some Lysol or air freshener or something.
Huff some glue.
And you and I are about long-term problem solving. You and I always have been. I think that's why we get along so well, because we're more into what's going to work. Hello. He's touching my foot. And longer-term problem solving is more complex. It's harder. And people are getting unconditioned to that.
To long-term problem solving?
To long-term problem solving, because they're so distracted. And that's why I was saying in the special announcement, on to the next thing, because there's always going to be some other next thing for if you're just imbibing one thing after another.
Yeah, well, there's so much
to choose from.
At your fingertips.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot. But I figure, you know, Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, that's a whole lot of, you know, everything right there. You don't need a whole lot more for me anyway. But for me, when your mom was asking me today, do you watch any new shows? And I had to say, no, they're too overstimulating. I watch a lot of old shows and a lot of shows that they're part of the multi-fandom. But I did say that your watching Secret Agent Man was very helpful because it was a step away from the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, because we have in that fifth episode The Prisoner. But with Secret Agent Man, or let's say Danger Man.
Danger, yeah.
Yeah. John Drake, you know, it's removed from the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows while kind of being a second cousin to it. And I see Patrick Begoon. Oh, I'm just like, I could watch something that's sort of there and sort of not, and it's a relief when you get the discs for...
Although this disc you haven't watched, you've like left the room if I'm watching.
Well, that's because I've been involved with Margot Josette Dupre. That was one of the reasons why. And plus, I'm able to talk to some people now, so I'm really grateful for that. So I think that wraps up our interview. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
And yes, anybody who was wondering about that Tony and Carolyn smooching, you just heard some more.
And speaking of Secret Agent Man, I think I'll take the disc and watch the last episode.
Okay. So there he was. I hope you enjoyed him, and you don't think it's just one of my other voices, especially we're talking over each other. But yeah, we do have kind of similar voices, and they're rather androgynous, but that probably is another reason that we work so well together as a pair. Kind of a weird thing, but if you saw my brassiere size, there would be no question about my gender. And I only mention that because I have a weird sense of humor, and also I'm not proud of that factor in my physical attributes. And I never have been. Yeah, and I'm so glad that things are changing now, because there's a lot of women who feel that way. And they were getting invalidated by feeling that way. And I was one of them. Don't think that it's fair to tell people how they ought to feel about their desires, that kind of thing. That's why I was pushing so much to look for who my fans could be, and after a while, realizing the pairings that I'd done, which I had done for the characters, not for popularity, it was because I cared about them, and I do care about them, and what they wanted was fairly clear in my mind. And I do have conversations with them internally, and when I watch them. So I think that's another reason that a lot of the fan fiction writers I talk to don't understand what I'm going through. They look at it the way they do their work, and what I'm doing is so extremely different that it confuses them. When I say, this is what Willie said to me, or this is what Wadsworth said to me, or they don't understand that it's a possession. It really is a possession. It's a possession of so many characters beyond Dark Shadows alone, which was why I mentioned all that stuff in the special announcement. And what I do, I've been able to do since I was quite little. It has improved in ability, obviously, since then, and I'm very empathetic. That's one of the reasons that I identify with Deanna Troi from The Next Generation, if you have seen that program. And I always felt that they didn't give her enough empathizing to do. I know she got really sick of, he's hiding something. So She didn't want to say that anymore. So yeah, so I understood a lot when I went through the anhedonia. I understood a lot of what was going on with Deanna Troi when everybody was blank to her because they had that episode where there were the two-dimensional beings and it cut off her ability to empathize and feel other people's emotions, and that was different. But with anhedonia, for me, I wasn't able to feel my own emotions, much less anyone else's, so I understood her suffering in that a great deal. And that was, again, 8 years. At least 8 years. So, one person, this is the plug, that I see is able to channel is O'Shane Navoy. She does the story Stand Fast and Damn the Devil. And this is an interruption story as well. From what I've seen of it, it is basically going down Dark Shadows canon, but with Bill Malloy alive instead of having gotten killed. And I'm impressed with what I have read because as soon as I got to know Bill Malloy a little bit, I saw in her writing she was able to get him down and really get him down. I'm not sure about the other stuff. I've had a lot of problems reading other people's work lately because of the lack of sleep, even my own, because if I go for too long stretches reading pages, just straight text, what happens is I fall into a kind of half-asleep state. I don't quite get all the way to sleep. And I think it's because of the right-to-left movement of reading. So that's probably where that's coming from. So I'd like to read more of her work. But when I got into my Facebook account, everybody was throwing their fan fiction at me. And it was something that I was doing because I was pretty sure that I had found who my fans were. And I felt, okay, if I give, I'll get back. And that's not what happened a majority of the time. So I basically got overloaded with doing favors for people. And it didn't, you know, I got a small percentage back in doing that. MID has been wonderful. Magical Irish Dolphin has been wonderful. Helena has been wonderful. O'Sheen has been absolutely marvelous in looking things over. And she saw that I was doing the same thing that she was, except to a further degree. And her and I have had discussions over trying to get canon down to the point where her studies astound me because she's the same way as I am. You know, she's worried about which hand, is it the left hand, is it the right hand? What part of the room is this piece of furniture on? What tastes and tendencies do each of these people have? So I see in her a kindred spirit big time. And I think that she, when she has the time, she's able to empathize more with what I'm doing. I think she's the only one. So, heavily support Stand Fast and Damn the Devil by O'Sheen Navoy in the Dark Shadows pile. And it's got a lot of reviews, but one of the things about commentary is we want to know what you enjoyed, you know? It's not invalid for us or for you to know what you enjoyed, what you thought was good. So, Stand Fast and Damn the Devil. Very good writing that I have been able to get through what I can. I did a review for it. I was actually very impressed with how she handled the vile Jason McGuire. You gotta know, I'm not fond of that guy. But I do like Dennis Patrick. If you've listened to the old intros, you know that. In fact, one thing that is worrying me a little bit is that some of you may be stepping into this in the middle and you think, okay, that's fine. You know, I stepped to Dark Shadows in the middle, you know. But I do urge, you know, go back to the old episodes and please listen to them. You know, start from the beginning so you know how it goes, especially since if you go from the beginning, you know my Barnabas impression, it was not good then. So it's better to get the gradual, you know, and it's all there, you know. It's not like you got to buy the whole DVD set of Dark Shadows. You just start from there. If you have the device or whatever, you just go in and there it is, you know, which is one of the reasons that this has frustrated me so much, because it's not me getting paid. In fact, my mother-in-law said today, is there any way you could get paid? And I told her about Margaret Chaussette de Bray and the possibility of 200 years as well, which is sort of the PG version. And so that's also a bit of risk there, but I think that it's going to be worth it. I've already seen people do Harry Potter fan fiction and get paid for it, you know, when I was doing the research for where I needed to go. But I need to do something a little more in the self-publishing with that, because what I see is with the other possibilities that people normally go to publish that kind of thing is the taking of rights from the creator, which is already weird enough since it's fan fiction. But that problem is, I don't like that. And also because I would worry that they would also, by proxy, grab the podcast, grab the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadow. So with Margaret so Josette Dupre and 200 years, it's just not the road I want to go down. It'll be less money in the long run, but it's better that if somebody wants to come and slap a hand, it's going to be mine. And I take the full responsibility for that. So, like I said in the intro to Seven, there is risk involved here. I've done as much research as I possibly can for this. And also, my friend who said that this was going to be my legacy, both Margaret Josette Dupre, 200 Years, and the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and she's not a Dark Shadows fan. She didn't understand at first why I was looking for commentary, and then when I told her how much money I had put into this, that's when she pulled back and said, "All right, you got reason to gripe." So I was like, okay. And that's the other thing. I had another friend, the one that gave me Night of Dark Shadows on VHS. She was just like, "What is the deal with, you know, why you spent over $2,000 on text?" And I'm like, "This is not text. Is anybody listening to my voice?" And the acting and all the crying I'm going to have to do in the future. Oh, if you guys heard Barnabas' scream in episode 10. Boy, my throat was sore for a while. I've got an outtake of that. I know Helena's looking forward to more bloopers. That's going to be... You need to hear me coughing. Yeah, those outtakes. Yeah, they're coming, but I got to gather more up. Hopefully, you know, the sun doesn't explode or something of that nature. So now we get to stuff coming up. The Water Ghost of Harrowby Hall by John Kendrick Bangs. If any of you have already heard Caleb Sayers Collins, then you probably have a good idea of who's coming up in episode 11 and why. I did chisel him out, so he's a creation of mine, but I feel like he's very Dark Shadows in general because I just scooped what information just from the television program I could on Caleb. And I was sitting in the armchair and I was writing out the scene, you know, in pen I did this. And I kept interrupting my husband with what he was doing, saying, "Oh my gosh, look how Caleb's coming out. Oh, I got to read this to you." You know, and I was like, because I saw, okay, this guy, why would he want this contract for the Seaview property for 100 years? And then I thought, you know stuff about ghosts, Daryl. That could very well be knowledge he would be stuck for whatever reason in that house for 100 years. And somebody who's a recluse, why do they want people floating around their house? He's a hoarder, you know, he got a lot of collection of stuff, you know, and it could be a reason for that. You could see where Victoria Winters would like to go through all those old things. And it just melded together so beautifully. But also he being a recluse, I realized that by this time, and hanging around about 100 years, watching the Collins eat each other alive, yeah, he came out from very unique sources, both Dark Shadows and myself, obviously. But channeling him has been a very, very deep honor, and I really miss him, and I really want to give him to you guys and have him for myself again, the same way I miss Sarah, the same way I miss Willie. We got Sarah back, but Caleb has lots and lots of things to show you. But he makes a joke about the Water Ghost of Harrowby Hall by John Kendrick Bangs. If you heard the clip, that's the reference that Nicholas Blair didn't get. And I will try to get something up, probably not on Podomatic, or I'll try and see if I can find a purchasable version of this. I found out about this story many years ago while my husband was in college and we were able to get old record albums from their libraries. There was one that was stories that were read by Vincent Price, and one of the longest ones was The Water Ghost of Harrowby Hall. Now, you can just read the text if you want to on Gutenberg.org. It's free. I've actually done a LibriVox book by John Kendrick Bangs, Coffee and Repartee, which just, I don't know how I channeled those characters. I mean, it just came to me randomly, if you've heard that. And also, if you have listened to my LibriVox recordings, I would love to hear from you, too. You know, the one lady who I helped out, if it's still helping you, I hope that it is. if you've looked into those. Like I said, Sign of the Jack-O-Lantern, not the best recording, but and it wasn't the first book, but it's still my favorite project with LibriVox.org. And it's got its spooky elements, you know, and it's got fun. And it's almost like a Halloween version of Lucy Maud Montgomery, you know, even though she does have her darker stuff, like I said in the first intro, which I also, The Man on the Train, that's a wonderful dark story of hers, but also quite friendly. So I'll try to see if I can get you all a audio version of the Vincent Price reading of Water Ghost of Harrowby Hall. If I can't find it somewhere purchasable, then I'll try to load it up on a different account and let you know whoever wants it. Because he did such a good job, Vincent Price did. And it is kind of important just for that one joke. You know, it'll keep you busy until I get episode 11 done. One of the reasons that a lot of these episodes are taking a long time is that I was coming home from work and I was just doing the recordings. I wasn't editing it. I wasn't, you know, I was just doing episode after episode after episode, just reading, and doing voice acting and everything. I wasn't putting it. And the better way to do the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, seriously, is to get the text written, make sure that it's canon, that there's no continuity flaws, do the recording, edit the recording, double check it, get all the sound effects and music in there, to just do it one by one. Cheaper by the dozen with the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is, it hasn't been working out. Where, you know, cheaper by the dozen is like you do one part and then another part later, you know, but you do one part over and over and over again, and then you do the next part over and over and over again, and you do the next part, and with the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, cheaper by the dozen method does not work. That's the other thing also about these Josette fans that I found. Like I say, in my analysis, they want interruption story, and they also want the details accurate. And I love that about them. So I'm hoping to get more help, and I'm also looking forward to getting more help from the Facebook Dark Shadows people. You guys have been just wonderful and really beyond a lot of online friendships that I've encountered, and I hope that that continues because it's... I wasn't used to it, so I didn't come into this, you know, I had already been used up and spat out. I wasn't expecting all this kindness, really. And Mad Margaret especially, she helped me out with what was going on with those three dreadful, dreadful chapters of Margaret Josette Dupré that had to be in there to get it accurate. That's why, you know, we a lot of us fans of this pairing, I don't know, the relationship, it's not a fairy tale. Can't be a fairy tale. I mean, it's passionately ever after, but they do have their problems because it is Dark Shadows. There are problems, and they have to heal from those problems. Making this novel, Margaret Josette Dupré, has been painful. It's been wonderful. It's healed my marriage, but I have gone through physical injuries for it. One of which are fun injuries, but they're injuries nonetheless. But other ones, things that I've gone through with Maggie and Barnabas have not been fun, but I knew that they were necessary. That is how much I care about accuracy, and that's how much I care about them. That's the other thing about me, and one of the reasons that I would like to get to know a lot of you is, obviously with the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, I like to solve problems, like a lot of human beings too, but we're often these other... We've really been hoodwinked into believing that the fast, simple approach is the one that works. It doesn't. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it isn't. And that's why a lot of us are very unhappy. And I have a lot to give. I'm not going to be Dear Abby about it, where you give me one question and I give you one answer and that's it. Life is too complex. And that should be pretty obvious because there are other creatures in this world that come right out of the womb or out of the egg and they get up and, you know, they don't need their mothers that long. We need our parents for at least 20 years. You know, we are not self-sufficient until puberty. And even then, there are all kinds of exceptions. You know, we have a hard time taking care of ourselves. And a lot of Dark Shadows fans have been seriously abused, which makes me wonder, why do you even like this show? You know, a lot of the time, I've been reading Lucy Maud Montgomery. I've been reading Miss Reed. Rest in peace. I was hoping that she was going to live longer, but... You know, stuff like that, to get a sense of what life could be like if it was just basic life. Those stories do have their problems, but they're everyday problems or things that people would actually go through. And so at the same time, they have their happinesses. They have their walks in the park. They have their pleasant hours and joys. But they have their basic problems. So Dark Shadows for me, I love spooky. And I saw spooky. And I saw spooky hurting. And I wasn't happy with that. So, hence the old idea of bringing all the other groups together. So I would really like to do this whole thing. 100 episodes or whatever, you know. I just need the support because I'm not getting paid. Even if I do sell those books, I'll probably break even on the project. Yeah, that's probably about it. So it's just your relationships and your enjoyment and the knowledge of it. And I do like to problem solve, so it's not going to be Q&A, you know, one question, one answer. There was a Dark Shadows group that I was on, and I said, hey, you know what? You know, not to be gross or anything, but if you have problems with menstrual cramps, I have some stuff that I've tried that might work for you, you know. And somebody did speak up and say, hey, what is that? And I told them, okay, it may not work for you, but there's this at this, there's this supplement. And these are all nutritional things that I do, nutritional remedies. One I do want to point out, which I think is funny, it's very on topic, you know, about garlic and vampires. Well, I think that that's sort of, you know, like that story about why did you always cut off the loaf or whatever? Well, it was to fit in the pan. Yeah, well, I just always cut the loaf that way before I put it in. And I can't remember if it was meatloaf or, you know, any kind of animal flesh or if it was like a cake or something. But it's like, I always cut off the end. And then it's like, well, call mom, you know, ask mom why you're doing that. And then she didn't know because she always did it. And then called grandma. And it was like, well, it's to fit in the pan that I had. It was too small. And then they realized that they were doing this thing wrong for so many generations. So with the garlic remedy that I want to point out, you can get odorless pills of garlic. When I found out about this, I was eating garlic all the time to the point where kissing got a little weird for my husband. It was just so, I would just eat it raw on pizza. You know, mix it in with all kinds of sandwiches and stuff. And because I have been a kid who have got extremely bitten by mosquitoes. Extremely bitten. And they're bloodsuckers. You know, they make you itch. They don't just suck your blood out. They put crap in your system so you have those bumps that itch forever. I had a pal who knew about a remedy. It was garlic pills. That was how it started. I went further with the raw garlic. And then I found about the odorless. He told me about the odorless ones, but I didn't care. I was just out for it. And I have rarely been bitten since. I mean, I got eaten up by bloodsuckers. So interestingly, garlic probably doesn't work for vampires, but bloodsuckers in general, oh yeah. And I can say this with a vengeance because my cousin and I went up to a place in the hills. We knew there were going to be a lot of bugs. We weren't camping exactly, but it's kind of in the boonies. Years ago, and I said, you better take the garlic because we're going to get eaten up by the mosquitoes. And she's like, oh, I don't like taking pills. I don't like taking pills. And I'm like, okay. We slept in the same bed. She got bitten up and I didn't because I took the garlic and she didn't. There you go. We were side by side and I didn't get one bite. She got quite a few. And the thing with the garlic is when you take it internally, it secretes in your system, you know, just in the little bits of sweat that come out. Just the little bits, you know, because your skin, it always has stuff that's permeating. That's what the bugs don't like. They land on it and they're not happy with it, which is another reason why you should be careful after you take it, how much you wash your hands, because I've noticed when the bugs still want me so bad and I've taken the garlic as much as possible, they'll go to the end of the fingertips because they're going to be the cleanest ones. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. I'm just saying that's the way it works. You know, wherever you scrubbed yourself is going to be the place with, when you go to bed, that's going to be the place with the least garlic coming out of your body when you've taken it internally. And it does take a little while to work. So I couldn't believe at the beginning of Dark Shadows, the first advertisement was mosquito repellent. It's just the first episode. Couldn't believe it. You know, Barnabas Collins is going to show up one of these days after an ad like that. Let's see. So, like I say, you know, if you want some problem solving, I do that. You know, obviously with this project, that's what it's all about. And so what's coming up in episode 11? Roger is trying to calm Elizabeth down, as well as Lily, because if you heard the last episode, the sight of Cousin Lily made Elizabeth swoon into a dead faint. Roger isn't too happy with how she's taking it, so he's about to go for a walk and witness the bizarre state of the old house now that Barnabas has Sarah back. Maggie and Sam have some reincarnation discussing to do as the percolator does its thing off in the distance. He got a new one, if you remember. That was what I had the one swear word in episode 7, I think, because Pop had to go get another percolator, and Greg was like, why don't you get a siphon? Let's see. And then, so Maggie and Sam have some deep discussing to do. Also, Elizabeth and Lily have some backtracking to do, and Lily has to explain the state of what she looks like. With everything Wadsworth's been through, I finally found his breaking point. He could deal with vampires, you know, spooks, whatever. Dr. Lang and Adam, that we, you know, it's just sort of skipped. Seeing Dr. Hoffman get choked and say, hey, stop doing that. You know, he's dealing with all these things, but David and Sarah, I found his breaking point. It was children. Didn't expect it, but that, like I say, I channel the characters. They give me this stuff, you know. Tony and Carolyn are good. They're hanging out with Mrs. Muir off in Schooner Bay, but they're wondering where the captain is. Now, the thing about this, it's one of the weirdest scenes I've ever written, and I'm hoping to drop this link off when it's done to the Bewitched crew and let them scratch their heads over it. Because Endora is going to show up. Greg and Endora at the Stevens home in a Dark Shadows story. But they're removed from Collinwood. It's the weirdest scene I think I've ever put together. Goes to Mrs. Muir. Bewitched. Nowhere near Collinwood. But about Collinwood. Very strange. And it doesn't go down very well, of course. And then there's Blair and the Undertaker, because, you know, like in the original Dark Shadows, Angelique is going to need a coffin. So Blair and the Undertaker have an interesting discussion. And Stokes and Hoffman have an interesting, lovely discussion, talking about what's going on with Willie Loomis as he's practicing calligraphy. I would think that by this time you would know where Stokes and Hoffman were heading. Then, of course, there's the scene that some of you have already heard. Tom Blair and Mr. Caleb Collins. But it should be better this time around. That was an old recording. It wasn't... yes. Hearing that, then you know why I had to do them all over again. And the end of this episode actually gave me a chill for a number of months, because Barnabas finally gives Sam the check. And it was one of the major things that I wanted to happen very badly in the original show, that Pop was going to be okay. Something about that just gave me the chills. And also the scene at the end with Julia and Sarah and Barnabas, that also gave me the chills. I don't know exactly why there was just something about it. Partly maybe the music, but that shows you things are going to start getting a lot darker and less fun. Still have comic relief, you know, still have Milligan and Hecubus to help us out with that, but it's going to get worse. That's where we're at. So, enjoy the outro, take care, and get in touch with me, if you can.
They won't stop till the moon goes down, till the morning sun comes into view. They'll be crying as they disappear, 'cause they love to cha-cha-cha with you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Zombies, cha-cha with the zombies. Have you ever seen a swinging ghost? Cha-cha with the zombies, cha-cha with the zombies. Wow, those zombies are the most. Wow, those zombies are the most.
Aren't you glad you came now? Mm-hmm.